We are beginning a series of lessons this week on the subject of what is wrong. And maybe that strikes you as being a rather peculiar approach to studying the things about the Bible. We do not intend in any of our lessons, and I believe that I am confident in speaking for the other men that will be presenting the lessons. We do not intend in any way to belittle anyone or belittle anyone's faith. And certainly there is no animosity whatsoever in the lessons that will be presented. But having said that, we believe that it is not only the privilege, but that it is even a duty, an obligation of everyone that wants to please God to examine all of the religious beliefs that are out there, and I think more to the point, to examine your own religious beliefs, your own religious practice, and to ask yourself the question, is this what God wants me to believe? Is this what the Word of God teaches? If it is wrong, certainly there is not a single person present that would say, well, I want to continue in doing that which is wrong in that which would be displeasing to God. So that's the purpose of our studies, and I am privileged to have the beginning lesson. There is a slogan out there. One of our grocers in particular for years displayed this slogan just as you came into their grocery store. And the slogan reads like this, attend the church of your choice. What do you think about that slogan? Do you like the idea of attend the church of your choice? In just a moment, I want to consider some of the appeal that is involved in such a slogan. But in reality, what the slogan is telling us is what we already know. There are hundreds of churches. There are hundreds of religious denominations. And you don't have to go all that deep into history or into religious history to realize that there was a period of time that we call Reformation. And that Reformation began with Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, because he saw any number of things that was wrong with the church of his day, Roman Catholicism, that he broke away from it. It was probably not his intent and purpose to break away from Catholicism, but he wanted to reform it. He wanted to protest against those things that he saw to be wrong, to be displeasing to God, to be displeasing to the Bible. Hence the term Reformation, hence the term protesting Protestantism. Well, from the time of Martin Luther and the formation, consequently, of the Lutheran Church, well, they have proliferated. How many hundreds of churches are there? Well, I don't know. One handbook on denominationalism many years ago said that there were over 500 distinctive religious bodies here in the United States of America. And if you travel abroad, you will find many, many more. All right, so there are hundreds and hundreds of churches, and that slogan, attend the church of your choice, is simply reflective of what you and I find all around us. Well, is there anything wrong with that? If so, what would be wrong with it? Now, I want you to understand, we're not talking about human opinion. Whenever we talk about what is wrong this week, I would not want you to suppose that we are just talking about an individual that would say, well, I don't like that church, or I don't like that teaching. Whenever we ask the question, what is wrong, it goes much deeper than that. What is wrong with a particular teaching in the eyes of God? What is wrong as far as, say, what the Bible might teach? The Bible is God's word of truth. Everything that is in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament scriptures that have been written by inspired men, we can know that's the truth. And so not only should we, but we ought to make it a practice in our life concerning any religious teaching that we will say, well, I wonder where in the Bible that is taught. And so it is then in our preparation for our study this morning. Very quickly now, what is the appeal of attend the church of your choice? I have to tell you, if you don't know, it is very appealing. I think number one, and if you were making such a list this morning, I think you would make this number one. What is the appeal of attend the church of your choice? Go wherever you want. The appeal, without a shadow of a doubt, is religious freedom. Religious freedom. Here, despite the fact that religious freedom is being attacked in the United States of America, I hope you're aware of that. I hope there is an awareness on your part that there are many, many people that are opposed, that are trying to limit your freedom of choice in religion. But from the very beginning of the foundation of the United States of America, that was one of the primary things that our forefathers stood for. It's in the Bill of Rights. You have the right to believe whatever you want to believe in religion. You can believe something is right, or you can believe something is wrong. And we all do that. And I think we ought to continue to uphold this freedom that we have. Attend the church of your choice. Nobody is going to put you in prison because of the church of your choice. You say, I like that church. That's where I want to go. Well, that's your privilege. There's something that I think I need to remind you about, though, about the freedom of religion. Not only are you free to choose what is right, you're also free to choose what is wrong. Freedom of religion does not guarantee the truth. And so it is with every one of us whenever we say, I like the idea of being able to attend worship wherever I want to attend. That does not necessarily mean that we're going to make the right choice. All right, well, what else? What else is the appeal of attend the church of your choice? It's very popular. It's very popular. Just about everybody that you talk to, at least in my acquaintance, will say, yes, I want to go wherever I want to go. And, you know, just right here on Courthouse Road, what a church road we've got. Maybe we ought to call it Church Road instead of Courthouse Road. Because you go along Courthouse, just right on up to the end of it, and there are just church after church building, just one right after the other, sometimes one on one side of the street and the other. All right. Hundreds of people, despite the fact that there are many, many people who never go to church. Isn't that sad? Despite the fact that there are many, many people that never go to church, do you know there are thousands of people that do? Sometimes, I think we might make a mistake about this idea of popularity. Some people, without a shadow of a doubt, will say, I have chosen to attend such and such a church because it's popular. There are so many hundreds, even thousands of people that attend that church. I want to be a part of a popular church. I don't want to go to a rinky-dink one. I don't want to go to one that nobody has ever heard about. And so popularity enters into this matter of attend the church of your choice. Very quickly, family loyalty. Somebody says, I am a member of this religious organization because of my family. My mother and father were faithful members of that church. My grandparents. Do you know that I can go back 5 or 6 generations and my family was always this or that religiously? All right, that's a reason. Friendship. Some people attend a certain choice because that's where their friends are, or because they want to form friendships. Recreation. There are many, many churches that, they provide every form of recreation that you can think of. Do you like knitting? Well, most of the ladies don't nowadays. But if you want to take up knitting, well, there are some churches that will offer classes in knitting. Somebody says, I like basketball, or I like baseball, or whatever it may be. Well, there are churches that offer that, and so you may say, I want to attend that church, I want to be a member of that church because of the recreation and the entertainment that is provided. Others are even more serious. They say, I attend that church because they're involved in a lot of good works. Oh, and there are many, many churches that are involved in good works. So it provides an outlet for people that do that. There's another motive. It's not quite as honorable. But there are some people that say, I am a member of that church because it's so easy. It's so easy. You know, I didn't have to change a thing in my life. I like to drink. I like to smoke. My speech is not always what it should be. Well, those folks, they don't really care. And I don't have to be there all the time. I don't have to attend every Sunday. That's, you know, that kind of burdens you down whenever you say every Sunday. And so there are many then that say, I want to look for a church where I will not really have to change my lifestyle. Okay, you probably have thought of some other appeals that are there. We come to the heart of our lesson, and I hope you're still with me. What is wrong? What is wrong with the slogan, attend the church of your choice? And I have to tell you, it's wrong because that's unknown to the Bible. You just can't read that slogan or any sentiment like that that would say, attend the church of your choice. Well, why is that? Why is that? Well, in our introduction, I think we had already hinted as to why that is so. In the beginning, all of these churches, every one of them that you see around you, with almost no exception, they have all been started by men. From Martin Luther right on down. If you wanted, and I don't intend to use a lot of church name, but let's just suppose that you say, all right, I want to look in the Bible for the Lutheran church. Could you find that? Well, you know that you couldn't. Why not? Well, because there was no Lutheran church before the days of Martin Luther. And you may not be aware of this, but I am. Martin Luther pleaded with his followers. He really did. He said, do not call yourselves Lutherans. Call yourselves Christians. Call yourselves Christians. Do you know if the followers of Martin Luther had carried out his desire, there would never have been a Lutheran church? They would have all just said, I'm a Christian. Who are you? Are you a Lutheran? No, I'm not a Lutheran. You don't read of that church in the Bible. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And you examine all of those churches. I challenge you right now. You don't have to do it out loud, but I challenge you right now. What church are you a member of? Can you read of that church in the Bible? Well, there's something else to consider. When you read in your New Testament, now the church that we are talking about, it had its beginning in the New Testament in the days of Jesus Christ and following. If you were to look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 18, you would find our Lord Jesus affirming something to the apostles. And this is the way it reads. Upon this rock, Peter had just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Wow. Wow. How many churches can you read of in the Bible? Just one. Just one. There were no denominations in the first century. God had planned that the church would be established, but he only planned one. It was going to cost the life. We have partaken of the Lord's Supper. It was going to cost the life of Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "It is the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood." Christ didn't die for all of the churches of men. He did die for the church that he said he was going to build. What did Jesus think about this idea of attend the church of your choice? Did he really like the idea of one person believing one thing, of worshiping in one way, of teaching one way, and then his neighbor, maybe even members of his own family, attending another church and worshiping in yet a far different way and teaching a far different... Is that what Jesus really wanted? Did Jesus really want all of these hundreds of churches? I think we ought to ask ourselves that. But if you want to, in your Bible, would you look at the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, right now? Jesus is praying to our Heavenly Father. I take up the reading in verse 20. John 17:20. Our Lord says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Verse 23, "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them as you have loved me." My dear, dear friends, my religious friends that are present this morning, do you know what Jesus has prayed for us? Not that we will attend the church of our choice. That's wrong. That's against what Jesus wants. What does he want? He wants us all to be one. He wants us all to believe the same thing and to worship the same way and to teach the same thing, so that there is not a contrary voice among us. So that there is no one that is going to say, "Well, I believe this and you believe that. That's all right. We'll all just get along." That's not what Jesus is telling us, is it? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4. All just teaching and believing the same thing. Do you feel frustrated? It's so hard. It's so hard when you look at those hundreds of churches to say, "Well, how am I going to determine what is right? Maybe none are right." In the first century, there was only one church. There were thousands of Christians, Those apostles, they went everywhere preaching the word. But do you know they just kept on preaching the same thing, the exact same message to Jew and Gentile, to barbarian, to Greek, to Scythian, to male and female. It was always the same doctrine. And there was a church in Jerusalem. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. There was a church in Rome. There was a church in Ephesus and in just all over the European, Asian world, there were churches. But you know what, if you had lived back then and you had come to town on Saturday night and you said, to the innkeeper, I'm a Christian. Where does the church meet? Do you know what he would not have said? He would not have said, which church? Do you know why? There was only one. There was only one. What should you and I be doing about all of this? I'm going to call it a religious mess, because that's what it is. What are we going to do about it? You say, well, Brother Gene, there's not a thing we can do. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. And this is my appeal to you. Do you know what you can do about it? And this is something you can start doing today. You pick up your Bible. You've got one. You pick up your Bible and you turn to the pages of the New Testament. And do you know what you're going to find there? You're going to find a picture of that one true church. The one that Jesus died for. The one that the thousands of people in the first century were added to. And it will tell you everything. It will tell you how people got in the church. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So you can read in Acts, the second chapter, what those folks had to do to be saved, and the Lord added them to that church. He didn't add them to the Catholic Church. There wasn't any Catholic Church. He didn't add them to the Lutheran Church. There wasn't any Lutheran Church. He added them to the church that Jesus said, I will build. I will build. Well, you say, how did they worship? And so you go ahead and read through the book of Acts and you find out how they worshiped. They sang, they prayed, they partook of the Lord's Supper, they gave of their means, all of those things. You find out what they taught. Well, you see, we could just go on and on. But what am I trying to get across? If you want to be just a Christian, if that's all you want to be, if you want to be a follower of Christ, you can do that. You don't have to be a member of any denomination. If you have the gumption, that's what it's going to take. If you have the gumption to say, I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to find out what those folks did to be members of that Church of Christ. You know, you can do that today. That's what we're inviting you to do this week. I hope you will come back this afternoon. I hope you will come during the week. Members of this congregation, it's your responsibility to be here. But for everyone else, we invite you to come and to be with us. Brother Dick is going to lead a song momentarily. We want to encourage anyone here that wants to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and to be added to the one true church to do that. If you've fallen away, we encourage you to come back. Won't you stand and sing with us?